We are holding on Lamed Zayin Omid Beis, three lines from the bottom. We talked the other day about the question of using Maisa Sheni for matzah. We had a machlokas, Rabbi Yosi Agluvi and Rabbi Akiva, whether you allowed to. Rabbi Yosi Agluvi had said that no, because Maisa Sheni can't be eaten when a person is an oinen, and he learns that matzah is mice. When we say that matzah is lechem oini, we douch in the word oini with an ayin as if it was like oini with an aleph, meaning that matzah has to be able to be eaten by ninus, therefore you can't use Maisa Sheni. Whereas Rabbi Akiva had disagreed and said that you could. And we said that, now we also had a limud over there from the word b'chomesh v'seichem, that you're not allowed to use matzah that can't be eaten anywhere in the world. And Maisa Sheni, once it's been brought into Yerushalayim, maybe there is such an issue on it, maybe d'oraisa, at least d'rabbanon. But we said that no, because if it becomes tamei, then it is possible to take it outside Yerushalayim. So that's not a valid reason to say that it should be also. So now we're going to discuss this matter of Maisa Sheni again, but taking a different angle on it. So the Gemara says, Amar of Asi, Issa Shomaisa Sheni. Now, you have like this. There's machloikas in Kedushin and in some other places in Shas about fundamentally what is Maisa Sheni. We know what you do with it. We know that you take it to your Shalayim and you eat it, and you have certain rules about eating it over there. It has to be Batara, and it can't be Baninus, and so forth. Or you exchange it for money, and you take the money to your Shalayim and use it to buy food, which has those halachas. What is the nature of Maisa Sheni, though? Is it something that's basically yours, just the Torah puts certain rules about it? You have to take it to your Shalayim, you have to eat it Batara, etc. Or is it basically Hashem's? It's basically Mamon Gavoya, and just Hashem gives you permission to eat it. The same way as you have, for example, pieces of the Korbanos that the Kohenim eat, which are Mishulchan Gavoya. So you have machloikas about that in Kedushin and in some other places in Shas. In particular, Rav Meir holds that it's Mamon Gavoya, that it's considered Hashem's property, the Maisa Sheni, whereas then you have the Chachamim there say that it's not, it's considered your personal property. So now, so Omer Avasi, Issa Shal Maisa Sheni, a dough of Maisa Sheni, L'divir Rav Meir Pturim and Achala, according to Rav Meir, it would be Potter from Chala because, as we're going to go on to say, the dough has to be yours in order for it to be Chayiv and Chala, and if it's Mamon Gavoya, then it's not yours. Whereas according to the Chachamim, it would be Chayiv and Chala because they hold that Maisa Sheni is yours. Similarly, Matzah from Maisa Sheni, what about if you're using such dough from Maisa Sheni? If you're using such dough from of Maisa Sheni from Matzah, L'divir Rav Meir ein adam yotze b'yidei chevasa b'pesach, according to Rav Meir, you wouldn't be yotze the mitzvah of Matzah. Meaning, even forgetting about Rabbi Yosi Agluvi's drosha about lechem oni being related to the word aninus, within Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that we said over there that he has no problem with that, still, Rabbi Meir would say there's a different reason to say you can't use Maisa Sheni because it's not yours. And the Gemara is going to ask soon, so what? Where does it say in the Pasuk anywhere that matzah has to be yours in order to be yotze? So we'll get back to that point soon. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you could, because again, according to the Chachamim, it is considered your moment. And a third case where that would be relevant, Esrog Shal Maisa Sheni, the Divir of Meir Einonim Yotzeba Yidei Chivasa B'Yamtiv, an Esrog of Maisa Sheni, according to the Meir, again, on the first day of Sukkot, the Dalad Minim have to be Lochem, as we know the famous thing, that's why you can't borrow somebody's Dalad Minim the first day of Sukkot, you have to get it as Matona Amanas Lahachzir. So by the same logic, if the Esrog is not yours, then it's an Esrog of Maisa Sheni, then according to the Meir, you wouldn't be able to be Yotze with it. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you could, because again, according to them, it's considered your Esrog. Interesting point that a couple of the Achronim take up over here. Why is it when it comes to Matzahs, we're using the expression by Pesach, which sounds like it means the entire Yomtiv of Pesach, whereas by the Esrog, we're using the expression by Yomtiv rather than saying by Sukkot or by Chag or whatever. There's a couple of interesting approaches to that. One thing where the Rashash gives one suggestion that maybe we're talking over here not only Pesach Rishon, but also Pesach Sheni. In general, when we get to the ninth parak of Or Masechta Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk about that. In general, many of the dinim that apply to Pesach Rishon also apply to Pesach Sheni. One of them, if we're going to say, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, that the matzah has to be yours, then that would apply to Pesach Sheni as well. So therefore, so the Gemara uses the word Pesach to include both of them. Whereas when it comes to Sukkos, then it's only the Yom Tov of Sukkos itself. Another interesting possibility, you know, Rabbi Yosef Engel brings in Giryoni Ashras. Now there is an opinion. The Chizkuni brings it on the Pasuk. It's brought in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that even though, now we've talked a few times already about the idea that only on the first night of Pesach are you mechuyev to eat matzah. And we talked about maybe opinions that maybe the whole first day you have to eat lechem oni, but there's also an interesting opinion that says, even though you're not required to eat matzah the whole 7 days of Pesach, but every time you do, you are still fulfilling a mitzvah of Shivas Yamim Teichlu Matzah. So it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis, it's not a mitzvah you must do like on the first night, but nevertheless it is a mitzvah. So then according to that, then the Gemara would be using the word over here by Pesach to mean Pesach, the entire Yom Tov of Pesach in general. Whereas when it comes to Sukkos, when it comes to the Dalad Minim, they only need to be Lochem on the first day. We know the rest of the days you are able to borrow somebody else's lulav. It's on the first day. So therefore, that's by Pesach versus by Yom Tov meaning as opposed to Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, there's an explanation that goes the other way around that says that, the word Pesach, if you said Yom Tov, then it would mean the entire first day as well. And the fact is, you only have a chiyuv to eat matzah the first night. Therefore, it uses the word Pesach to mean Dafka the first night. Anyway, so those are a couple of different possible reasons why the different lashonis. But in any case, the larger point the Gemara is getting at over here is that according to the Meir, again, since Maisa Sheni Mum and Gavoya, therefore that would have implications in several areas of halacha. One of them being that according to the Meir, you can't use Maisa Sheni for matzah. So in other words, we would have thus far three different opinions. You'd have Rabbi Yosef Gluvi saying that you can't use it because it's not nechol ba'ninus. You have Rabbi Meir saying you can't because it's mamon gavoya, and then you'd have Rabbi Akiva who'd be saying that you could use it. That he doesn't learn Rabbi Yosef Gluvi's drasha. And as far as whether Maisa Sheni is mamon gavoya or mamon hedyet, he or at least other tanoim in his name would hold that it's considered mamon hedyet. That's considered your mamon. Okay, so now, of course, the underlying idea with all of this is that by all these three things, by challah and by challah and by matzah and by esrog, it all has to be lochem. So maski for a papa. So a papa says, I have a problem with that. Bishlema isa. I understand when it comes to dough being chayev and challah, we know that it has to be yours. Dichtiv arisei seichem. It says your dough, implying mishal lochem. So it actually has to belong to you. Esrog nami dichtiv lakachtam lochem. And by an esrog, it says lakachtam lochem. And again, lochem means mishal lochem yehe. Means it has to be your esrog. Ela matzah miksiv matzaschem. Where does it say in the pasuk the matzah has to be yours? So why would Rabbi Meir have a reason to say that Maisa Sheni you can't use for matzah? The answer is Omar Rava v'itema Rabbi Yemia b'Shlemia Rava, or some say Rabbi Yemia b'Shlemia said yes. As a matter of fact, it doesn't say matzaschem, but we make a gzeira shava asya lechem lechem. We make a gzeira shava on the word lechem. Ksiv ha lechem oini. Matzah is described as lechem oini. And then it says, when you eat from the bread of the land, then you have to take truma from it. Not truma, challah. So, malahalim mishalachem, afkar mishalachem. So, therefore, yes, you make a gzera shabbat, that just like with challah, the dough has to be yours in order for it to be chayiv and challah, the same way matzah would have to be yours in order for you to be yotzim. And we're saying both Rav Meir and the Chachamim agree with that point. Just the machloikas is Maisa Sheni in fact yours or not? This gets into, first of all, Tosfos actually mentions in that case, then what we had a couple of days ago, a discussion why you can't use matzah of tevel. Don't you have a, now that we're saying that the matzah has to be yours, you have a better reason why you can't use tevel. It's not considered yours because you have to give part of it to the Kohen and part of it to the Levi. So Tosfos says actually, so the difference is like this. By an esrog, if you were to take an esrog of tevel and use it, since you have to take off part for the Kohen and part for the Levi, so therefore you have an incomplete esrog, and we know that an esrog that's missing part of it is possible. On the other hand, by matzah, conceivably, you could have a piece of matzah that's large enough to be able to give out of it truma to the Kohen and Maiserishin to the Levi, and so on and so forth, and still have a Kazayas. So therefore, you might have thought that you're able to use Tevel as long as it's large enough, so as long as it's large enough that the part you're eating to be Yotza, the Kazayas, is the remaining Cholin after you take out the rest. Therefore, we need therefore we needed to say a few days ago that you can't use Tevel regardless. And another point Tosfos says is because what happens if, for example, it is Tevel, but whatever you're going to take out of it is anyway going to belong to you. You're a Kohen, you're going to be taking out Truma, you're going to be able to keep the Truma. You're a Levi, whatever the Maiser, almost all the Maiser Ishin you take out is going to be yours. You're an Oni, the Maiser Oni you're taking out is going to be yours. We still need that Limud that we had the other day, that you can't use Tevel for the purpose. Now that we're saying that the matzah has to be yours, that gets into a very interesting discussion about the question of matzah gzula. A person steals matzah and eats it. Is he yotzei the mitzvah? And you have there's quite a bit of discussion about that among the Rishonim and Achronim, about a lot of different angles on that. Bederech klal, you have if a person steals something, then even if it becomes theirs, then you have a problem mitzvah bar b'avera. So that might be one reason for there to be a problem with it. But then we're saying over here in the Gemara, you don't even have that. You don't even need that. You have a specific thing. You have a specific zeta shava that says that it's usur. So one way of understanding it. So there's a lot of different possibilities. You could have, for example, where normally a gazlan takes something. Usually he's not acquiring the thing right away. He acquires it either with yirush and shini rishus, where the original owner gives up hope of getting it back, and then it's transferred to somebody else. For example, the ganav gives it to somebody else, or with a shinui she'enei chozul lebiryasai, or if an irreversible shinui is made to it. So you have a few different possibilities. You can have where a person stole actual matzah. You can have where a person stole wheat and made matzah from it. In the second case, then there was a shinui. So it wouldn't be considered matzah gzula necessarily. If there's a reason to aser it, then it would be because of mitzvah bar b'aveira, which therefore would mean that if the ganav goes and sells or gives that to somebody else, and the somebody else doesn't know that it was stolen, then he would be able to be yotze with it, because at that point, it's considered his. He was koneh it with shinui rishus, and he himself wasn't over the aveira, and he didn't know that the Aveda was done, so you can't say that it's a mitzvah bob Aveda. On the other hand, if actual matzah is stolen, maybe the Ganav himself can't be yotze with it. On the other hand, the Ritva talks about that you think about it, when are you actually accomplishing the mitzvah of matzah? When you're swallowing it. By the time you're swallowing it, that's a shinui. You have a change has been made to the matzah, you chewed it up, and now it's not in the original form that it was before. So maybe therefore you could be yotze with it were it not for so fine. Maybe you have the problem of mitzvah bar b'aveira, maybe you can't make a bracha on it, but maybe you could actually be yotze with it. So there's a lot of discussion pro and con among Rishonim and Achronim on various angles of this matter of matzah gzula. And there's a couple of sifim in Shulchan Aruch dealing with the details of it. There's a lot of lomdus in it. It became a very popular topic for Rabbanim to give for Shabbos HaGadol Durashis, because it has directly to do with Dinim of Pesach. So you find a lot of discussion about it. One interesting implication that comes from, actually a couple of interesting implications, lahalacha, that come out of it. First of all, the Mishnah Brura brings an idea like this. We talked about a few weeks ago when I was explaining about Mechiras Chametz, that there's a shita of the Rif, which the Alter Rebbe accepts lahalacha, that if you buy something from somebody and you haven't paid the entire payment and the person is still ayo v'nofik azuzi, he's going back and forth and demanding his money, then the sale is not really final because he himself showed with his ayo v'nofik that he's not willing for the kinyan to take effect until you give him all the money. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says the implication of that would be, if since we're saying over here the matzah has to belong to you, then that would mean if you bought matzah on credit before Pesach, and the guy is ayel v'nofik azuzi, that he's going back and forth and demanding before Pesach that you pay him off, and let's say you keep on fobbing him off with excuses, you might not be yotze with that matzah based on this, because you weren't fully koneh, it's not considered yours. So you would have to make sure to pay it off. You would have to make sure then to pay it off before Pesach. Another point that comes of this is what happens by a guest. What happens if you have somebody as a guest by your table? You're not usually actually machna to them the matzah that they eat. It's just it's there on the table and they can eat it. You didn't do any kind of kinyan with them, and you didn't explicitly say that you didn't explicitly say that this is yours to do with whatever you want with it. In fact, there is a halacha that, for example, if I give you something, but you don't have the ability to do whatever you want with it, for example, to give it to somebody else or to be machdish it, then it's not fully considered yours. That comes up in Hilchos Nedarim. So how, over here, you're giving matzah to the person at your table. He doesn't have reshus to go and give it away to somebody else or whatever. So on what grounds is so if we're saying over here the matzah has to be his, then on what grounds are you able to be yotze with it? So Achronim talk about different angles on it. Sfasemis talks about one that maybe. We say one of these non-sadi type things. We know that since you want the guy to be able to be yotze, the mitzvah of matzah, that's why you invited him to your seder, then non-sadi that you meant to be machne him the matzah fully. There's a number of other discussions about it, pro and con, and there are in fact a couple of achronim closer to our time who hold that you should in fact be explicitly machne to them. Lamaisa, we're not usually noyig like that, but there is such a concept that some of them bring up. Right, so you don't think. You give them all the food. You're giving them matzah. It doesn't occur to you that matzah is different. It actually has to belong to them, right? Lamaisa, people are not noyig to explicitly be makneh to them. There's sort of an implicit hakna that it's considered yours. After all, I'm inviting you in order for you to be able to fulfill the matzah, the mitzvah of eating matzah at the Seder, so therefore implicitly I'm doing whatever it takes for you to be able to be yotze. That's what the Sfasemis says. Yeah. The wine doesn't necessarily have to be yours in order to be yotze the mitzvah. Yeah, okay, yeah. All right, yeah, yeah.
Isn't Amshacha enough? Where do we see that to make a Kinyan, you have to have a Machshavas Kinyan?
You do, that's Meshicha is not Meshicha without having in mind to be Koina is not enough. If I go into your house and I pick up something of yours, does it automatically become mine? No, of course not. You're not intending to be Machnen, and I'm not intending to be Koina.
So what's Shinu Yerushus then? What's the concept of Shinu Rishus?
Shinu Rishus is something else. That's if Reuven steals from Shimon, and then Reuven turns around and sells or gives the item to Levi. Then one of those Yush of Shimon and there's Shinu Rishus. So then Levi is koina the actual thing, and we say therefore he doesn't have to return the actual thing to Shimon. He only has to return the value of it, or actually Reuven the god.
So you can say the same thing about the matzah.
No, because by the matzah you're not by the matzah. There's no. What do you mean? By the matzah, it's still on your table. You put it in front of the guest, and the guest is going to be eating it, but you weren't actually machneh to him. With Reuven and Shimon also. The Gazlan is not koneh himself as soon as he picks it up. Otherwise, how does the Gazlan ever have to pay back? You know, the whole point is...
When the guest takes the matzah, it's in his reshus, and Shinu Rishus
applies to Gzela, not to Shinu Rishus applies to Gzela. Okay, maybe you could say when the guy picks up the matzah, maybe at that point it's Meshicha. Could be. I don't know. What? For no, Yerush is with his Gzela. But no, we're talking about, let's say, if you're giving it to him as a matana, and he picks it up. Okay, but when he's picking it up, he would have to have in mind that he's picking it up in order to be koneh it, loved after he's having that in mind either. So there is some discussion about that. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. Okay, so the Gemara says, so fine. So let's review then. We had Rav Asi telling us that there are three cases where Rav Meir would say that because it says lochem, or because it says chem, arise say chem, or lochachtem lochem, or we make a gzera shava from chala to matzah, therefore those three things, maise sheni, wouldn't work, because according to Rav Meir, maise sheni is not considered your mom. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, can we say that the following Braisa supports what Rav Asi is saying? The Braisa says, Issa shal Maisa Sheni, Peturim and Achala, a dough of Maisa Sheni is potter from Chala, Divir a Meir, Vachamim Chayevis. Where's the Chum say it's Chayev? So would that support what Rav Asi is saying? The Gemara says, what do you mean, Lema Messiah? What do you mean, would it come to support? When you talk about, when you say Lema Messiah, what you're saying is the actual case that the Amora is talking about, we don't have an explicit Mishnah or Braisa about that case, but we have a similar case that it mentions over there, and we can infer from it that it would be the same din in the case the Amora is talking about. It's exactly the same thing. He said, Rav Meir says that the Chala doesn't apply to a dough of Maisa Sheni, and the Braisa is saying the exact same thing. What do you mean, Lema Messiah? The answer is Hochikar Mavai. You're right. What the Braise, what the Gemara means to say is Lema midpligi beisap bahanach nami pligi. Is it necessarily true, given we see from the Braise that clearly that Rav Meir and the Chachamim are arguing regarding Maisa Sheni, regarding Chala, bahanach nami pligi? Automatically, that would mean they're arguing on the other two as well. So therefore, that would support what Rav Asi is saying. Rav Asi had said that they're arguing on Chala. Fine, that we don't need Lema Messiah. The Braise says so explicitly. But Rav Asi had gone on to say that the same thing applies to Esrog and the same thing applies to Matzah. The Braisa didn't say that. So should we say that the Braisa, therefore, is supporting him and saying, once we find they argue by Chala, then automatically it means they're arguing by the other ones as well. Dilma, or maybe not. Shining Hossa, maybe it's different when it comes to Chala. Dichtiv Arisei Seichem, Arisei Seichem, Tshrei Zimni. Twice in the Psukim over there, it uses the word Arisei Seichem, meaning your dough. So therefore, you would say that. So once it says twice, then you would say even if one of them is used for some other durasha, the other one would be used to say that it has to be lachem. As opposed to when it comes to the esrog, where it only says lachem one time. So they and we know that excludes the case, for example, where you borrow an esrog, where you steal an esrog. Maybe Rav Meir would agree that, on the other hand, say that an esrog of Maisa Sheni, sure, it's mamon gavoya, but it is at least to a certain extent yours in the sense that you're allowed to eat it. So maybe Rav Meir would be fine with being yotze with it. And the same thing with matzah, given that we're only learning from a gzeira shava from the word lachem, maybe again it would mean you can't use stolen matzah, you can't use borrowed matzah, let's say, but you could use. But you could use Maisa Sheni Matzah. So it could be, but not necessarily. So the Gemara drops the point at this point. So okay, maybe the Braisa supports what Rav Asi is saying, maybe not. Obviously, we haven't contradicted it either. So fine, we can accept what Rav Asi is saying, that Rav Meir and the Chacham argue in all three cases, but we don't have a solid proof for it. We only know that the Braisa is telling us that they argue about the case of Maisa Sheni. The case of Chala. Okay. Onward. Boyer of Shimon Lakish. Maushi Yetze Odim Yede Chevasib Chalash or Maisa Sheni Birshalayim. Now, we talked about Maisa Sheni. Again, we had the two different machlokas in about it, between Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, and between a mayor and the Chachamim, about whether you can be Yotze with Maisa Sheni. We mentioned in the Mishnah that Kohenim are able to use Chala that they received from people. They're able to bake that into matzah and use that. So now the question really, what if it's both? What if you have Ma'ush Yetz Adam Yidei Chavase V'Chala Shel Ma'isa Sheni B'Yerushalayim? Now what happens is, if it's Chala and it's Ma'isa Sheni B'Yerushalayim. Now, when we learned the machlokas of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and when we learned the machlokas of Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, we said Rabbi Yosef Aglili doesn't allow you to use Maisa Sheni because you can't eat it ba'aninus. And then he learned from Lechem Oni that it has to be Meloshen Oni with an aleph, that it means that you could eat it ba'aninus, and Maisa Sheni you're not allowed to. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva had said that that's not a problem because he doesn't darshan that. And as far as the fact that Rabbi Yosef Aglili also darshans from the word Mimoshwe Seichem, that the matzah has to be something that could be eaten anywhere where Jews live, we said Rabbi Akiva had pointed out, the Gemara had pointed out, according to Rabbi Akiva, fine, because if Maisa Sheni becomes Tameh, then even in Yerushalayim, then you're allowed to redeem it and then you can take it out of Yerushalayim. The problem is over here, if it's Chala as well, if Chala becomes Tameh, you can't eat it, you have to burn it. So now comes the question, if it's both, if it's Maisa Sheni. So if it was Chala by itself, there'd be no problem. If it was Maisa Sheni by itself, then according to Rabbi Akiva, there'd be no problem. But now it's both. It's Chala and Maisa Sheni. It's a person took Maisa Sheni. He brought it to Yerushalayim. He made dough out of it. And now, out of that dough, he's giving a portion to the Kohen. So that piece is both Maisa Sheni and Chala. Now the question is, can the Kohen be Yotze with that? So, be Yotze the mitzvah of matzah. Yeah. So, I'll live it at Rabbi Yisag Lili Lotiboyloch. So, according to Rabbi Yisag Lili, who says, anyway, you can't use Maisa Sheni because Loyachalti Ba'oni, then because Lechem Oni, then according to him, there's no question. Hashtab Cholin Loynofik Bachalosim Iboya, he says you can't even use Maisa Sheni, which is otherwise Cholin. Alachas Kama Vakama, he would say that you can't use Maisa Sheni, which is also Chala. Titiboyloch, I'll live it at Rabbi Akiva. The question, rather, would be according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, again, doesn't care about the lechem oni business because he darshens lechem oni for something else, but he still says that it has to be eaten b'chol mo shavos. In fact, we learned a few days ago that for that reason, Rabbi Akiva would agree you can't use bikurim because bikurim, once they've been brought into Yerushalayim, then that's it. They have to be eaten in Yerushalayim, so they can't be taken out into other moshavos. Only by Maisa Sheni, Rabbi Akiva said the difference is Maisa Sheni, if it becomes tameh, you can be poided and take it outside of Yerushalayim. Bikurim, you don't have that option. If bikurim become tameh, then they're also to eat like terumah. So according to Rabbi Akiva, b'chulin who didn't, so kitiboylach, I'll live with Rabbi Akiva, b'chulin who didn't, maybe Rabbi Akiva would say that you can only be yotze with Maisa Sheni, which is otherwise cholin, because of that, because if it becomes tameh, the imitamu yashlan hetem b'shabbos, because if it becomes tameh, then you're able to take it out to the other b'shabbos, you're able to be poida and take it out to the other b'shabbos. Therefore, even if now it's not actually tameh, then we would say a concept called hoyil. Since if it became tameh, then you would be able to. So even now it's considered that it's nechal b'chol mo shabbos. Avo chala di mitam yeles lahetem b'shabbos, but when it comes to chala, if it becomes tameh, you don't have that option available. Will a sreifa azla? Instead, you're going to have to burn it. So maybe loy nafik. Maybe you can't be yotz to the mitzvah of matzah with that. Oiduma, I mean in a hoyel, or maybe we can still say a different kind of hoyel. Hoyel v'ilu loy kara le'ashem. Had he not designated this piece as chala, the itami, and it remained only Maisa Sheni, then Isla had to be Moshavos. Then, as we said before, you'd be able to take it out to the Moshavos, because you'd be able to be poyed it, the Nafik bar, and therefore you could be Yotza. Hash the Nami Nafik, maybe even now that it became Chala, then maybe we would say, in other words, that just because you called it Chala, after all, we said before, Chala by itself you're allowed to use for matzah, Maisa Sheni by itself you're allowed to use for matzah, maybe the fact that it's the combination, maybe we're not going to say that the combination of them is now going to become usur. If a kohen is tameh, you can't eat the korim. But more to the point, also, we're not talking about if he's tameh, we're talking about if the food becomes tameh. In the case of challah, if it becomes tameh, you have to burn it. Bikurim is the same thing. If they become tameh, you have to burn them. It's not shayach to eat them, but tameh, right? Right. Okay, Tosfos actually points out that... First of all, again, when we're talking about this question of whether you could take the Maisa Sheni outside Yerushalayim, we talked about the other day the concept of Mechitza Likloit. Once Maisa Sheni is brought into Yerushalayim, is it Daraisa or Darabonim, that as long as it's Tahor, you can't take it out of there? So Tosfos says that apparently our Sugya is going according to the opinion that it's Daraisa. Otherwise, if it was Darabonim, then the fact is you don't even have to have that it becomes Tahor. You could have it remains Tahor, and at a Daraisa level, you'd be allowed to take it outside Yerushalayim. And you probably did, so there's necha b'chol mo shavos. But that Tosfos says maybe not. Since even if we say it's only dirabanan, the fact is dirabanan, you can't take it out as long as it's tahor. So still fine. Dirabanan, you've reached a point where it's not necha b'chol mo shavos. Where again, the only way would be if it's tameh, and because it's both chala and ma'aser sheni, then being tameh is not going to help us. Can you deem it? No. If it's tahor and it's in your shalayim, then you can't redeem it. That's the Maisa Sheni, you can't do that. All it is midar, again, one possibility is midar raisa, you would be allowed to take it outside your shalayim even while it's tahor and be poydeh. That's called mechitzas likloi dirabanan. That's called that only dirabanan, do we say that once it's inside the walls of your shalayim, then it has to stay there. Or would we say maybe that concept is daraisa, and therefore the only way to take it outside the walls of your shalayim would be if it becomes tameh. So our Gemara, Tosfos says, could actually work according to either one of those possibilities. It's more straightforward to understand it if we say mechitzas liklat daraisa, and therefore even on daraisa level, the only way to take this out of your shalayim would be if it became tameh. But the problem is, again, it's challah, and once it becomes tameh, then you can't eat it. Or maybe even if you could say it works even if mechitzas liklat dirabanan, because the fact is, now that the chacham made that takana, then you can't be poided in your shalayim. Tosfos also talks about, if we're saying that if you didn't call it challah, then you would be allowed to, then you'd be allowed to be poded after it's tamei and eat it. Why don't we say the same thing as far as bikurim? If you hadn't designated them as bikurim, then you would be able to, then you'd be able to eat them anywhere. So the Tosfos says the difference is that once they're called bikurim, then einan nechal b'chol mishbeisechem. As opposed to when you call it challah, in and of itself, calling it challah doesn't make it that it can't be eaten b'chol mishbeisechem. After all, you're allowed to eat challah anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, anywhere in the world, in principle, if you're tahor. So it's only over here, and the same thing ma'aser also is nechal b'chol mishbeisechem if it becomes tamei. The problem is over here that you have both ma'aser and challah. So that's not reason enough to say maybe we could still say that the fact is, if it had been only one or only the other, then it would be nechal b'chol mishbeisechem. So even though the combination prevents it from being eaten b'chol mishbeisechem, that's not strong enough to prevent it from being used for matzah. The Tosfos mentions that, yeah. Okay. So that's the question then. Ikadamri, another version of the question goes as follows. There's no question in that case where it's challah made from actual Maisa Sheni. For sure we would say hoyol, and we would say that because Maisa Sheni by itself is fine and challah by itself is fine, so the fact that it's challah plus Maisa Sheni is not reason enough to answer it. So then we would say that for sure. The question rather would be, suppose that you bought food with Maisa Sheni money in Yerushalayim. So you didn't bring the original Maisa Sheni itself to Yerushalayim. You brought the money of Maisa Sheni, and then you used that to buy food, and some of that food was dough, and then you took challah from that dough. Now the question would be, on that dough, can you use it for matzah? And Valiba did a bon on Loti Boiloch. Now, according to the Chachamim, there's no reason to even ask the question. Kivin de Amri Yipoda, because they say that what you buy with Maisa Sheni money is no different than the Maisa Sheni itself. If it becomes Tomei, you're allowed to be Poder. So good, according to them, Hainu Meiser, then it's exactly the same thing as Maisa Sheni, and we already established that with Maisa Sheni, and we already established that we can say Hoyle. We can say that since it wasn't going to be Osir, since just Maisa Sheni by itself is not Osir, and just Challah by itself is not Osir, then the combination of them is not going to be Osir either. So fine, you would say that. The question rather would be a question of Yehuda. The Amar Yikover, where Rabbi Yehuda says that unlike Maisa Sheni, which becomes Tomei, and you can be poed it and take it outside of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yehuda says that what you buy with Maisa Sheni money has more of a chumrah to it. The reason is, because Rashi explains, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you buy something with Maisa Sheni, it's a weaker kind of kedusha. So what happens is, when you have Maisa Sheni itself has a strong Kedusha, therefore, when you're poided, the Kedusha is able to fully be, the money that you use for it is able to be fully nitpas with that Kedusha. So now, that money has the din of Maisa Sheni. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, when you use that money to buy food, that food has a weaker level of Kedusha. It's not a strong enough thing to be toifus the money. Therefore, the result is that the Kedusha remains on the food. And if it remains on the food and it becomes tamei, then you can't do anything with it. So Rabbi Yehuda says you cover. You have to bury it. It's also bana. Yeah. Ditnan, as in fact we learn in the Mishnah, in Masechta Maisa Sheni. Halakuach b'kesef Maisa Sheni shenitma. If you buy food with Maisa Sheni money and that food became tamei, you poda, then the Tanakama says that you could be poda, just like the original Maisa, Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, you cover, and Rabbi Yehuda says you have to bury it, because again, it's not a strong kedusha. So now the question would be, so mia minin hoyol the ilo lakuahavi. Now can we say we need a double hoyol? Number one, a hoyol that if it hadn't been bought with a hoyol that we could be yotze with Maisa Sheni itself, as we just said. And now we're only talking about food that was bought with Maisa Sheni money. So that's one hoyol if you hadn't bought it, if you'd used the original Maisa Sheni itself. And the hoyol v'leikara aleh shem. And also you have another hoyol that if you hadn't called it challah, then V'itami, then if it became tami yeshlei heter b'mashavas, then you would still say it has a heter to eat b'chol mosh v'seichem, because you could be poydet, so nafik bay, and therefore you'd be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with it. Therefore, hashdanami nafik bay. Maybe now he can be yotze with it also, even though it is chala, which it, if it's chala and it's ma'aser sheni, and again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, both the fact that it's chala and the fact that it's ma'aser, that it's bought with ma'aser sheni, rather, not the original ma'aser sheni, but bought with ma'aser sheni, both of those things, chala and bought with ma'aser sheni, both of them, if they became tame, Rabbi Yehuda says there's nothing you can do with them. You have to burn them or bury them. So maybe therefore you can't. So on the other hand, again, we have two hoyles. Hoyle that if this wasn't bought with ma'aser sheni, it was the original ma'aser sheni, then it would be fine. Hoyle that if you hadn't called it chala, then the whole issue, if it hadn't been chala of ma'aser sheni, then the whole issue wouldn't exist. Because chala by itself is fine, and ma'aser sheni by itself is fine. So maybe we can say that. Maybe we can only say one hoyle, but we can't say two. So again, if you had it was chala of ma'aser sheni itself, you only need one hoyle, so therefore you're fine. Or if it was bought with ma'aser sheni, but it wasn't chala, again, to be yotze with it, according to the Yehuda, you only need one hoyle, so therefore fine. But here you need two hoyles, so maybe we don't say that. So what would be the din in that case? That's what we're saying, hoyle lahetter. Yeah, both of them are that. Yeah. Omar Rava, Mistabra Shem Maiser Chadhu. Rava says, you know what the Svara is, that the name of Maiser is all one thing. The same way as you can be Yotze with Maiser Sheni itself, the same way you can be Yotze with Chala of Maiser Sheni. Yes, it's Chala as well, but the fact is it still has the din of Maiser Sheni. So therefore, we're going to say that you could be Yotze with it. And even according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not going to say that what was bought with Ma'aser Sheni is more chomer than Ma'aser Sheni itself. We're going to say, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't be poydeh because he says its kedusha isn't strong enough, but we're not going to say that its din is going to be more chomer, that therefore, that you can't be Yotze with it. Even Rabbi is saying, even Rabbi Yehuda would say that you could be Yotze with it. Well, yeah. Well, when you, it's true you add in the fifth, although not necessarily. You're only adding the fifth if you're being poed to your own ma'aser sheni. If you're poed to somebody else's ma'aser sheni, there's no extra fifth. But be that as it may, that's neither here nor there. Tosfos explains that Rabbi Yehuda learns, since the pasuk says v'tzarta ha kesef biyodcha, that you should take the money in your hand, then that means kesef rishon v'lo kesef sheni. It means only the first time that you're being poed does it have these dinim, therefore not the second time. Because like this, if you had ma'aser sheni, which you exchanged for money, now you bought other food with it, now you're going to be redeeming that for more money, that's kesef sheni. Rabbi Yehuda learns you can't do that. You only have one time that you can be poed on kesef, not twice. So if it came tame, then there's nothing you can do with it, says Rabbi Yehuda. So because you can't be part of it. Whereas the Chachamim don't learn that way. Okay. So that's that. So Lamaskona was saying that whether it's Ma'aser Sheni by itself, according to Rabbi Akiva, or whether it's Lakuach v'kesef Ma'aser Sheni, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, and whether in addition it's Chala or not, either way you're able to be Yotze the mitzvah of matzah with it. Because we do say one hoyle, we say that since if it hadn't been chala, or if it had been the original ma'aser sheni, then it would be fine. And Rava is saying that once we say that ma'aser sheni is allowed, that any kind of ma'aser sheni is allowed, regardless whether this particular piece happens to also be chala or not. In effect, we're saying hoyle. Okay, that's according to Rabbi Yisrael, really. Now, one second. That you can't eat ma'aser sheni ba'an ninus, everybody agrees to that. The implication that it has for the din of matzah is only according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. That's Rabbi Yosi Aglili darshans the word lechem oini as if oini with an ayin, as if it was oini with an aleph, and therefore he darshans from it that it has to be matzah that you can't eat ba'an ninus. That is why he says you can't use ma'aser sheni. So right, that's what we said at the beginning, that the whole question doesn't begin according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, you can never use ma'aser sheni for matzah because it's not nechel ba'an ninus. According to Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't have a problem with that, would there be a problem if it was chala as well? By the way, the Pnei Yeshua has a bit of a different understanding of this whole matter of hoyle. he says it comes down to the question of whether it had shasa kosher. Like this, in other words, when it was Maisa Sheni, we said before, Kohen Rav Akiva, you're allowed to use it, you're allowed to use it. Even as far as Challah, yes, it was designated as Challah, but when there was a designated as Challah, only after it was made into dough. That means before that, it had a Shasa Kosher. There was a time when it was made into dough, and it wasn't, and Challah hadn't yet been taken. And therefore, at that point, any particular piece of dough in there was not yet subject to the dinim of challah, and therefore if it became tameh, then nothing would happen. So even now that it was designated as challah, we can still say that we look back at the time before it was designated as challah, where therefore the dinim of tumah v'tahara don't apply to it. Okay. This is where the Pnei Yeshua says that. Okay. Next. The Mishnah had said, Chalis Todor Rekike Nozer V'chola. The Mishnah had said that the loaves of bread of a Korban Todor, whereas we said before, a Todor comes with 40 loaves of bread, 10 of them are Chomet, so there's nothing to talk about with them. Obviously, you can't use them for matzah. The other 30 are matzah. There are three different types. You have Revucha, which is where you boil the dough in water, and then you bake it, sort of like we talked about the other day with bagels. Then you have another 10 that are made as chalas, thick chalas, and you have another 10 that are made as rikikin, thin wafers. So the chalas and the rikikin would be, they're matzah, like, they're matzah, they're not chametz. So on those grounds, you should be able to use them for matzah. But the Mishnah had said that those, as well as rikikin nazir, as well as the wafers that a nazir brings, so a nazir brings two types, he brings chalas and rikikin, 10 loaves each, all of them are matzah in the case of a nazir. So the Mishnah had said, if he makes them to be, if you can't be yotze with them, the Mishnah had said you can't be yotze with them. Actually, what the Mishnah had said is, if you made them for yourself to accompany your korban, then you can't be yotze with them. If you made them to sell, then you're allowed to be yotze with them. So that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Why, if you made them for the korban, why you can't be yotze? Rashi explains, and Tosfos agrees, that we're talking about before the korban was shechted. Once the korban toda or the eil nazir was shechted, then the lechem becomes kadosh. At that point, then you're back to the question of whether it's mamon gavaya. And it is mamon gavaya. You have the machlokes about ma'aseh sheni, whether it's mamon gavaya, but everybody agrees that korbanos are mamon gavaya. Once they get kedushas haguf, they're mamon gavaya. We already said before, you can't be yotze with matzah that's not yours, so it's not yours. So then there's nothing to talk about. So the question would be, you have to bring a korban toda, so you went and made chalos and rikikin for the purpose. Now you want to know, before you shechted the toda, am I instead allowed to take these and use these for matzah for Pesach? And the Mishnah is saying no. By the way, the Chazon Ish actually points out an interesting point. We learned closer to the beginning of the Masechta that you can't bring a korban toda on Erev Pesach. So how are you making chalos toda right before Pesach anyway, that there's even a question whether you can be yotze with them? Well, you still don't bring the toda, no, because you don't bring the toda in the early morning either, because the problem is you can only eat the chametz until 6 hours in the day, so therefore you're reducing the amount of time that you can eat the chametz of the toda. That's why we don't say mizmah l'soda on Erev. So he gives a couple of answers, one of them being, again, like we said at the top of the Amud, we could be talking about Pesach Sheni over here. Pesach Sheni, you're allowed to bring a toda, because no problem, you're allowed to have chametz around. So the question then would be, if you're getting ready to bring a korban toda, and now you realize, hey, it's Pesach Sheni, and I have to bring a korban Pesach, and I have to eat it. Al matzah some roim yechluhu. Can I use these chalos or rikikin that I made for the purpose for the mitzvah? So the Mishnah had said that no, if you made them to accompany the korban. On the other hand, you're allowed to if you made them in order to sell to other people. That's the point. If you made them to sell, that other people are going to buy them to use for their korban, but you didn't make it yourself for your korban. That's it. Because if you made it for your korban, the question is, can you say that now I want to be yotze, the mitzvah of matzah, with these chalas or rikikin? If you made it to sell, then you're allowed to, the Mishnah is saying. Then fine, then you... Hold on. Okay. So the Gemara says, Menohani Mili, where do we know that you can't be yotze with chalas, toda, or rikikin? No, so wait, okay. Let's learn, yeah. Omar Rabba, the Omakra. Because the Pasuk says, Ushmartim es ha-matzis. The Pasuk says you should guard the matzis, and from there we learn, matzah mishtameres l'shem matzah, that it has to be the matzah is guarded for the sake of matzah. This is the concept of matzah shmura. This is the concept where we get the concept of shmura matzah from, and you have the machlokas, whether it has to be shmura mishas ktsiro, mishas tchina, etc. By the way, the Alter Rebbe talks about in Shulchan Aruch two possibilities. Is it that you have to have in mind that the matzah can be used, that the matzah is able to be used davka for the mitzvah of eating matzah on the first night, or is it enough that you're having in mind generally that it can be eaten throughout Pesach? The Alter Rebbe says the second one is fine. It's good enough just to have in mind that it's going to be eaten generically during Pesach, without having specifically the first night in mind. We say l'shem matzah mitzvah, and it covers both of those things, because matzah mitzvah means even the first night. Anyway, the point is the matzah has to be guarded for the purpose of the mitzvah of matzah, yotzazu, as opposed to these chalos toder rekikei nazir, she'en mishtameres, l'shem matzah, el l'shem zebach. You're not guarding it and preventing it from becoming tomei or chometz or whatever for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah, you're doing it for the sake of the korban. So therefore, therefore the pasuk is mamayit that you can't use it. Rabbi Yosef said a different reason. The pasuk says you should eat matzahs for 7 days, implying matzah ne'achelos l'shivas yomim. It has to be the kind of matzah which would be able to be eaten for 7 days. Yotzazu, as opposed to the chalos toder, the kikei nazir, she'ena ne'achelos l'shivas yomim, el yom v'layla. They can't be eaten for the whole 7 days, because a korban toder and the ram of a nazir can only be eaten for 1 day and one night. After that, they become noiser. That's why the Mishnah is saying, if he made them in order to sell, then that's fine. But if he made them for his korban, then Rabbi Yosef is saying, the problem is he's having it's only being made as something that can be eaten for 1 day and one night. Matzah has to be something that you would be able to eat for all 7 days if you wanted to. Even though the mitzvah is only the first night, but since the pasuk says, Shivas Yomim, Matzah Sitichelu, then Rabbi Yosef says, we learn from that it has to be matzah that could be eaten for all 7 days if you wanted to. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei de Rabba, but Tanya Kavasei de Rabbi Yosef. We actually have braises like both of them. We have a braisa like Rabba's understanding that the reason that the problem with the Chalos Toda is that you're not having them in mind, you're not guarding them for the sake of matzah, but for the sake of a different mitzvah. And we have another braisa like Rabbi Yosef that the problem is that it's not Shivas Yom. Tanya Kavasei de Rabba, we learn a braisa like what Rabba says. Yochol yotzei de chivase b'chalos toda rekikei nazir. You would think that a person could be yotzei with the chalos toda and rekikei nazir. Tamad loimo shmartem as a matzos. Therefore, the pasuk says you should guard the matzos, implying matzah mishtameres l'shem matzah, only if it's being guarded exclusively for the purpose of the mitzvah of matzah. Yotzazu, as opposed to these, she'enem mishtameres l'shem matzah, elu l'shem zebach. These are being guarded for the sake of using them for a korban. And for the purpose of the korban, also they have to be matzah and they can't become tamei, etc. So you're not guarding them exclusively for the purpose of matzah, therefore you can't be yotzei with it. So that braisa agrees with Rabba's explanation of our Mishnah. Tanya Kavasei de Rabbi Yosef, Yochol yotzei odem midei chivasei b'chalos toda rekikei nazir. No, Tamad loimo shivas yomim matzahs techelu. The pasuk says you should eat matzahs for 7 days, implying matzah ne'achelos l'shiva, so only if it's matzah that could be eaten for all 7 days. Yotzazu she'en ne'achelos l'shiva el yom v'layla. Okay, so we have braises like both of them. So in other words, this machlokas of Rabba and Rabbi Yosef is in fact a machlokas tanoim that we find, because we find braises on both sides of it. By the way, why are we mentioning Chalos Toda and Rekikei Nazir? Both the Toda and the Nazir's Korban, both of them come with both Chalos and Rekikin. So why are we specifying Chalos Toda and Rekikei Nazir? So one for the Tosfos Yom Tov says, okay, when it says Chalos Toda or Rekikei Nazir, it means it's both. It means Chalos and Rekikin of Toda and Chalos and Rekikin of Nazir. But actually, the Maharam Chalava says an interesting point. The Gemara is going to ask now, the Gemara is going to ask in a few lines that you have oil mixed into them. Shouldn't that make it matzah ashira? And the Gemara is going to answer, you have very little oil in them. When you look at the various types, we're going to discuss soon, that when you look at the various types of bread that are brought with the toda and the various types of bread that are brought with the nazir's shlamim, you find the ones that have the least amount of oil are the chalos of the toda and the rekikim of the nazir. Therefore, we're saying even though they have so little oil that there's not a problem with matzah ashira, but you have problems with it based on what Rabba is saying because it's not mishtameres l'shem matzah, or based on what Rabbi Yosef is saying because you can't eat it for all 7 days. Mishtameres l'shem matzah. The Rabba and the braisa that supports him said, well, whatever it is from the harvesting or whatever it is that you have to guard it from, but whatever guarding you're doing, the pasuk is implying it has to be exclusively for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah. And here he's not. He's doing it for the sake of the korban. So therefore, Rabba would say that's no good. And Rabbi Yosef says a different reason, because you can't eat it for all 7 days because it becomes noiser after a day and a night. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, "V'tibuklei melechem oini." Why do we need these lemudim from ushmartem as a matzes and shivas yom matzes echedu? Why don't we say there's a different reason you can't use chalas toido or kikei nazir? Because the pasuk calls matzah lechem oini, implying, as we said before, mishen nechal ba'aninus, that matzah has to be something that you could, if you wanted, eat when you were an oinin. The same way as we said about ma'aseh sheni, that it can't be eaten by aninus, because it says lo'achalti ba'oini mimenu. That applies to all kodshim. Rashi says we learn it from a kavachomer. If you're not allowed to eat ma'aseh sheni, No. We're talking. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. The Kavach HaOmer is Ma'aseh Sheni, which is a lower kodesh, a lower level of kedusha, and still the Torah says you can't eat baninos. So kodshim, which are a higher level, achas kama v'kama. So any kodshim you can't eat baninos. So why don't we learn from that? That automatically for that reason you can't use the chalis toda or the kikin nozer. Why do we need to learn from ushmartem as amatzes or shivas yamim? The answer is Savalok Rabbi Akiva, because Rabban, Rabbi Yosef, and maybe our Mishnah as a whole, hold like Rabbi Akiva, Dama Oni Ksiv. He says, never mind the fact that it's pronounced Oni, from the fact that it's pronounced Oni, we said we learn on it, Lechem Sha'onin Olav Dvorim Harbe, that's bread over which we say the whole Haggadah. Rabbi Akiva focuses, though, for purposes of Halacha, on the fact that it's written in the Pasuk Oni, it's written without the Vav, so it's written Ayin Nun Yud, and therefore we darshan from that, that it can't be Matzah Ashira. That it can be rich matzah. So that's what we said. Ultimately, we said that Rabbi Akiva looks more primarily at how it's written, but ultimately he finds a way to darshan how it's pronounced as well, namely by darshaning lechem sha'onim olav dvarim harbe, as opposed to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, was only darshaning the way it's pronounced, that oini. So therefore, so if we hold like Rabbi Akiva, then there's no problem with kodshim because you can't eat them baninus. So therefore, you need other reasons, which is what Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef are supplying other reasons. Okay, the question is, for typically to have a matzah ashira, don't you have a different reason why you can't use chalis toda or a kikin nazir? It's matzah ashira, because it's kneaded with dough. It's kneaded with oil, rather. Yeah, it's kneaded with oil. The answer is, omer shmuel, or rav shmuel, barav yitzchok. After all, it's a very tiny amount. Revi'asi, it's only a revi'as of oil. Omer chalekasi, lekama chalas, it gets divided among many different chalas. Rashi explains like this. When it comes to a korban toda, you start with a half a lug of oil. Then you say like this. Of that half a lug, half of that, so one, so one revius, goes into the ten chalos. One half of it goes into the ten chalos and ten rikikin. So between the 20 chalos and between the 10 chalos and 10 rikikin, you have only one revius of oil. The other revius of oil goes for the revucha, the one where you first fry it and then you bake it. So therefore, the chalos and the rikikin have very little oil in them. The 20 chalas that contain this revius of oil between them are almost seven esroinim, almost seven shiur chalas. So you think about it, a shiur chala is anywhere between 3 and 5 pounds. We're saying that the chalas and rikikin that go together with the korban toda are almost seven times that in size. So you have somewhere around 30 pounds, give or take. And in that, you only have a revius of oil. That's not enough to make it matzah ashira. No, because we talked about the other day that you're not allowed to baste the dough of matzahs. You're not allowed to baste it with juice or whatever. But actually there, it's more of a problem because it's true. Right. The problem is over there, the top layer of the dough, which you basted, where you have some water and some juice over there, it may become chametz faster. Right. Over here, what we're talking about is the oil is distributed in the whole dough. When you're kneading the dough of the chalas and the rikikin, you're mixing in with them a revius of oil. But it's a revius in 6 2/3 shiur chalas, so therefore it's not enough. So actually, Marsha says one possibility would be, therefore, that even for us such a thing might be mutter, because after all, it's so little oil that we can't say that little amount of oil is going to make it be machmitz faster. Or maybe not. Maybe for us it wouldn't be good, but in the Mishnah, where there was zaris, then it would be fine. Whatever the case, it can't be called matzah ashira because it has so little oil mixed into the dough. So a regular korban mincha, you have an isoran of flour mixed with a lug of oil. That's Yeah, just right. Right. Well, then you have the, we talked about the other day, you have Minchas Machvas, Minchas Marcheshes, Minchas Mafetanur. Those are where you fry them or bake them or whatever. But here we're talking about specifically when it comes to a Korban Torah, and when it comes to the Shlomim of a Nazir, you have special loaves of bread or special loaves of matzah that are being baked to accompany them. Those have different rules. Those have, the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is that you have to have oil in them, but very little oil. That's what we're saying. Between the 10 chalas and the 10 rikikin, you only have one revius of oil. The same thing when it comes to the Nazir also. You have very little oil in it, where actually when it comes to the Nazir, actually you don't even actually bake them with the oil. You just smear the oil on top. So that's not enough for it to be considered matzah ashira. Okay. So the question is, v'tipuklei de'enin acholos b'chol meshavos. Okay, we have another reason, though, that we should say that chalas toda and rikikin nazir should be no good, because, again, you can't eat them b'chol meshavos. Once you shech the korban and they have kedushas aguf, then you can only eat them in Yerushalayim. And we said before with Ma'aseh Sheni, and with Ma'aseh Sheni, we said, okay, if it becomes Tomei, you can take it out. Bikurim, though, even Rabbi Akiva agreed, you can't use Bikurim for Matzah, because you can't take them outside Yerushalayim. Well, the same way the Chalas Toda and Rikikin Nazir, you can't take them outside Yerushalayim either. So that's another reason to ask them, why do we need to learn from Oshmauta Masa Matzahs or Shivas Yom Matzahs Techeilu? The answer is Amar Ish Lakish, Zoisei Meres. Since we're not saying that we learn from that, that means we can learn from that. Chalas Toda, Rikikin Nazir, Necholon Menoy V'Givon. It means that the Chalas Toda and Rikikin Nazir could be eaten when the Mishkan was in Noiv and when it was in Givon. Now, what's going on over here? Rashi explains like this. When the Mishkan was in Noiv and Givon, it wasn't considered the full Mishkan at that point because the Orein wasn't there. It was considered the Bama Gdola. At that point also was the time in history when Jewish people were allowed to have bomos and bring korbanos anywhere where they wanted. So now you have the question, when it's a bama gdola, when it's not a full-fledged Mishkan, what kind of korbanos can you bring on it? Are you allowed to bring any kind of korbanos or only certain ones? Reb Shimon learns in a Gemara in Megillah that even though this was the actual Mishkan, because the Aron wasn't there and it was considered a bama gdola, the only korbanos you could bring there are ones where there's kavua lahem, where there's a choiva and there's kavua lahem zman. You're required to bring them, and they have a specific time to bring them. So according to Reb Shimon, you can't bring the korbanos of a nazir or a korban toda in the or a toda maybe, because a toda is a type of shlomim, but maybe you could bring that anywhere. But at least the rikike nazir is a choiva. It's not kavua lahem zman. There's no particular time when a person, there is a time when a person's nazirus is over, but it's not a date on the calendar. It depends on the individual person for his nazirus. So according to Reb Shimon, it comes out that you're right. There would be no place. You couldn't eat rikike nazir anywhere. You would have to, when the Mishkan was in Noiv and Givon, then you couldn't bring a nazir. Couldn't bring his korbanos at all. And when the Beis Mikdash was built in Yerushalayim, then you can only eat them in Yerushalayim. And then therefore it's not nechal b'chol meshavos. So according to him, you don't need the limudim from Oshmartem as a matzos and shivas yom matzos techelu. But according to the Chachamim, that you were able to bring other kinds of korbanos in the Bama Gdola as well, then in that case, then you have. At that point, you could bring a toida, you could bring an ale nazir, and because it's not Yerushalayim, because it's only a Bama Gdola, you're allowed to eat it anywhere in Noiv and Givon, and maybe even in the whole Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, at that point in history, it was able to be eaten b'chol meshavos, therefore we don't care about the fact that later on it can't. Tosfos actually asks the question, in that case, why don't we say the same thing about Bikurim? The answer is that Bikurim is not considered Chayv Shekavur Lahem Zman, because you have a very large time during the year when you can bring Bikurim. All the way, as we said, as we learned the other day, all the way from Shavuos until Hanukkah, and between Shavuos and Sukkot, you even say the Psukim, so therefore it's not considered Zman Kavua. Well, that's something else. Only when they settle in Eretz Yisrael, but that's true of many mitzvahs. Only mitzvahs at lois bar in general only started applying when they settled in Eretz Yisrael. But yes, Tosfos does give another reason, because unlike a toida, where if a person made a neder to bring a toida, then he has to bring it, and unlike a nazir, where if he becomes a nazir, he has automatically a chiyuv to bring the karbanos, bikurim is only if you own a field or an orchard where you have peiros from the shivas aminim. If not, then you're not bringing bikurim. So therefore, that can't be considered something that's such a chayv kavua that you should be bringing to Noiv and Given. So in other words, the implication is that during the time when the Mishkan was in Noiv and Given, they're not necessarily bringing Bikurim. So therefore, you can't. So therefore, Bikurim is only they brought Bikurim when the Mishkan was in Shiloh. Later on, they started bringing them again when the Mishkan was in Yerushalayim. But in both cases, then you can only eat Bikurim inside the city. So therefore, it's not Nechal B'chol Meshavos. Therefore, we said Bikurim are excluded from using for Matzah. Noiv is in Eretz Yisrael, Given is also in Eretz Yisrael, but the point is, during the time when the Mishkan was in Noiv and in Given, then it wasn't considered the Mishkan, it was considered the Bama Gdola. Rashi over here gives a short summary of the history of it. You have, before the Mishkan was set up in the Midbar, you could bring Korbanos anywhere you wanted. Then the Mishkan was set up, and for the next 40 years, they're only allowed to bring Korbanos in the Mishkan. In fact, they have an opinion in the Gemara that even if they wanted to eat the Sar Taiva, they wanted to shecht an animal to eat, they'd have to bring another korban. Then you have, they came into Eretz Yisrael, they set up the Mishkan temporarily in Gilgal. During that time, they were allowed to make bummers. Then, because the Oren is constantly traveling, whenever they're going to war, the Oren is going with them. Then, after they finished the 7 years of Kibosh and 7 of Chiluk, at the point when, as you're saying, Bikurim and other such mitzvahs, Aphlois Baaretz, kick in and start becoming applicable, then they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh, and it stayed there for the next 369 years. During that time, Bamos were Osir. The Mishkan in Shiloh was considered the full-fledged Mishkan, because the Oren was there. Then the Oren was captured by the Plishtim, and the Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. So they... It was in Shiloh. It's a city in the Nachla of Shevet Yosef, of Ephraim, I think. You can find nowadays. It's interesting. You go there. I went there last year. They have a whole exhibition about the Mishkan over there. Very, very interesting. Yeah. Then eventually, the Oren was captured by the Plishtim. Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. So they brought the Mishkan to Noiv and built it up and reset it up over there without the Oren. The Oren was by the Plishtim, and later on it was brought back to the Jewish people. But then it went to Kiryas Yearim. They didn't bring it back to the Mishkan. The next time that the Oren was together with all the other Kalim was when the Beis Hamikdash was built. So in between, you had 57 years, it was in Noiv and Given. It was in Noiv for about 13 years. Then you had the whole story where Shaul accused them of helping David and Doeg wipe them out. So at that point, Mishkan Noiv was destroyed, and they brought it to Given, and it stayed there for the next 40-odd years. I mean, they knocked it down, and they moved it, whatever it is. The point is that they moved it to Given. It remained there for the next 40-odd years. And during that time, when it was in Noiv and Given, again, the Oren was not with it. First, the Oren was in Kiryas Yearim. Later on, David brought the Oren to Yerushalayim, but it was in a tent of its own in Yerushalayim. So during all those 57 years, when the Mishkan was in Noiv and in Given, then it was considered a Bama Gdola, and you were allowed to have private Bamas everywhere else. Then eventually, the Beis Hamikdash was built, and from then on, you can't have Bamas anywhere else. Were they given instructions not to put the Oren? Bepashtus, it was done al Pinavi. One idea is, since the Pasuk mentions in Parashas Re'e that Kilei Basam Ad Atar Ela Menucha Ve'Ela Nachla, the Gemara has a few different opinions over there what Menucha and Nachla represent, but one opinion is that Menucha is Shiloh and Nachla is Yerushalayim, so the implication is there wasn't going to be any other place that's either a Menucha or a Nachla, any place else where the Mishkan is set up is going to be, it's just going to be a Bama Gdola. Okay. Anyway. So the point is that, therefore, so Rish Lakish is saying again that since you could eat the Chalas Toda or Kikei Nazir in Noiv and Given and in other cities in Eretz Yisrael while the Mishkan was standing over there, then it can be called Nechal B'chol Meshavos. Okay, let's finish up. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Loi, Sha'alti Es Rabbi Eliezer. I asked Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'u She Yetzah Adam Chalas Toda or Kikei Nazir? Can a person be Yotzah the mitzvah of Matzah with Chalas Toda or Kikei Nazir? Amali loy shamaiti. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I didn't hear from my rebbein. And we know in many places in Shas where Rabbi Eliezer would never say over something that he didn't hear from his rebbein. Yeah. But so Rabbi Eloi continues, Basi v'sha'alti lifnei Rabbi Yeshua. I went and asked Rabbi Yeshua, Amarli, and Rabbi Yeshua answered, and Rabbi Yeshua answered me, Harei omru chalas todo rekikei nozer sha'asal la'atzmai. Yeah, the Chachamim said that a chalas todo and rekikei nozer, if a person made them for himself, ein adam yotze behen, then he can't be yotze, limko bashuk yotze behen, but if he makes them in order to sell in the marketplace, then as the Mishnah had said, then you could. So Rabbi Loi continues, Kshabasi Vehutseisi Dvarim Lifnei Rabbi Eliezer, when I came and told over this statement to Rabbi Eliezer, Amali, Rabbi Eliezer was very impressed. He says, Bris, I swear by the Bris, Hein Hein Advarim Shenemru Lo the Moshe B'Sinai. These are the very things that were said to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. In other words, yeah, I agree this is Halacha. I didn't hear it from my Rabbein, but I agree this is Taka how it is. On the other hand, Ikadamri, but there's another version that he says it's not as a question, not as a statement, but as a rhetorical question. Bris Hainain Advarim Shinemru Lo Moshe B'Sinai, Veloy Time Aboya. Don't you need a reason? What do you mean? You're saying this thing in the name of Rabbi Yeshua as though it's like Allah Moshe B'Sinai that doesn't need a reason. It needs a reason. Give me a reason for it. Or Rabbi Hanan explains a little bit differently. He says that according to the second Lashon, Rabbi Yeshua is the one who's saying, once he tells Rabbi Loi, this is the din, then he tells him, you should know, these is actually Dvarim Shenemru Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. In fact, actually, Rabbi Hanan brings over here, based on Yerushalmi, whenever you find something explicitly in a Mishnah, and there's no name of a Tana or anything attached to it, it is, or it may be, Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. In fact, there's a Yerushalmi that says that. There's many halachas from Moshe Mishnai that are just mentioned in a Stam Mishnah where you would think that maybe it was something the Chachamim came up with. No, it's actually halacha Moshe Mishnai. So then according to that, Rabbi Yeshua is saying this, you should know this is halacha Moshe Mishnai, but still the Gemara is asking, still don't you need a reason for it? Even halacha Moshe Mishnai should have a reason. So what's the reason to distinguish whether he made it himself or whether he made it for his own carbon or whether he's planning to sell it? So Omer Rabbah, it's a taka of a time of my, what's taka the reason? Amar Rabba, kol lashuk, because when a person is making chalas todo, rekike nazir, to sell in the marketplace, he has two things in mind. Imluchim mimlach. He's always having in mind two possible things. Amar, he says, imizdaban, if I can sell them, then good, then I'll sell them and somebody else can be using them for his korban or for matzah. Iloi mizdaban, and if I can't sell it, epok, who I know, then I'll use it for my own matzahs for the seder. So therefore, he's always having in mind. So there, now you get into the question. In that case, might it be a matter of brera? You could say maybe it's only a matter of brera, but you could say to begin with, he's having in mind a double thing. When we said before that he has to have in mind l'shem matzah, over there, the problem was he's having in mind only l'shem zebach. He's planning to use it for the korban. Now he changed his mind and wants to use it for matzah. Here, to begin with, he has in mind l'chatchila that there's a good chance I may end up using these for my own matzahs at the seder. Just if I manage to sell them, then good. Then other people can use them for their korban. Therefore, that's valid. So that's the reason for the distinction in the Mishnah between whether he made them for his own korban versus whether he made them in order to sell. If he made them for his own korban, his exclusive machshava is, I'm going to use them for my korban. He's not even having in mind at the time that I'm going to use it for matzah. Later on, he wants to know whether we can use it for matzah, and we're saying that no. Over here, to begin with, he has in mind that there's a possibility either way. But it was, because he had both things in mind all the time. Or even you could say, maybe yesh brera, and you could say that retroactively it comes out that his machshava all along was for matzah, as opposed to in the previous case, where to begin with, he wasn't having matzah in mind at all. Yeah. Having in mind for matzah, yeah. Then it has, right, well, yeah, it has to be mishas ksira, yeah, from when he harvested, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Shreach.